Well, welcome everybody. Happy Monday afternoon. I hope you've had a fantastic weekend and you're all doing well and getting ready for the work week. Now, I've got another fantastic episode of Playing with Perspective, the suspended animation podcast for you. And I'd like to begin by asking you a question. Do you want more love in your life and to be attractive to others? Well, if you do, stay tuned because we have the fantastic Carmel Catanuto in the house and we're going to be chatting about exactly that topic. Now, who is Carmel? Carmel is a counselor and art therapist. She is the founder of Carmel Catanuto Psychotherapy. Psychotherapy can help you to move from the story that you tell yourself into your feelings, body, and heart. Carmel guides her clients to find new ways of thinking and supports you in taking risks to make changes. You'll feel lighter as you develop a more loving relationship with yourself. Carmel is committed to your growth and the long haul as you transform the pain you feel into freedom and joy. She'll help your essence shine and be more attractive to others. Now, doesn't that sound fantastic, Carmel? How are you?
I'm so excited. Wow. What an intro.
What an intro. Absolutely. And I'm really excited to get into this kind of this topic because I've always been fascinated by the mind, by psychology, by the subconscious mind. And we're going to get into all this kind of stuff today. And we're going to be learning about getting more out of life by changing your inner dialogue and becoming an attraction magnet for people and opportunities. So I just love that.
Ooh, so how long have we got, Darren?
So we've got as long as you need, Carmel. Right. But before we get into it, maybe I'll give you an opportunity to say hello and tell us a bit about who you are.
Yeah, great. Thank you. Thank you so much. What a fantastic introduction. And I'm already feeling the excitement about the topic. So great. So, I've been in business for 3 years and I run a private practice as a counsellor and art therapist.
Yep.
And I split my time working as a day program therapist at South Pacific Private, which is a hospital for addiction and mental health.
Wow.
So I run art therapy groups. I see individuals and facilitate groups. And yeah, it's quite a interesting variety of a week that I have.
Wow. Okay. Absolutely. And now, how did you get into this amazing line of work, working with attraction, working with your inner dialogue and working to make yourself an attraction magnet? I just love that.
No, it's amazing, isn't it? Oh, gosh. You know, it's really interesting. When I was reflecting on the topic, picture this, Darren. My parents, they go to a party. They each bring their dates.
Yep.
They look across a crowded room. They have a flash of realization that they're meant to be together. And three kids later, and the rest is history. So talk about magnetism and attraction. Absolutely. It's for some people it happens and for some people it doesn't, but it's like, how do we get into relationships that's meaningful? Brilliant topic. How do we do that? I suppose in my own relationship, it's my story. It's not as magnetic as my mum and dad's story, but by the third date I was carried away and I was bitten by the love bug. And wow. 5 years later, I must be doing something right because we're still together, which is really good.
Oh, and now I'm sure the audience is trying to ask, tell us about the first, second and third date. Where did you go?
Well, you have to wait until the end because that's the
tip. All right. Fair enough. We won't give it away too soon.
Go on.
No, you go for it. Come on, go for it.
Yeah. No, I guess, how I got started, Darren, was, I too kept getting into dysfunctional relationships and I wanted more intimacy and connection with my relationships. And, as I delved deeper into it, I came to believe that I was unworthy of love and I kept persevering. And that's what led me into studying counselling because I just believe that, strongly held beliefs really run the show. So, so let's face it, we're in relationships, whether we know it or not, or whether we're single or in a couple, but we do need tools to have better and healthy relationships. So yeah, that's, you know, and that journey kind of led me full circle. Guess where do you think it led me, Darren? Where did it lead me? Yeah. So it led me back to myself.
Wow.
You know, it all points to the relationship that you have with yourself is the most important relationship that you'll ever have. And then you can move into having relationships with others. So it's so true.
It's that old cliche of everything that you're looking for is right there at your fingertips.
Yeah, absolutely spot on, And, you know, in this moment here, Darren, if we were to, you know, come into the present moment, you and I are in a relationship for the next 40 or so minutes. So with all that comes a lot of history, a lot of experience, a lot of knowledge, a lot of, a lot of moments. And so, wow, there's so many perspectives to it.
There are. And as you said, I mean, everything boils down to your inner dialogue. I mean, I've always loved that phrase, your inner dialogue, because it says so much. But why is it then, and, you know, we're going to dive into the psychology and the psychotherapy now, why is it that we struggle with our inner dialogue, and why do we have such variations of our inner dialogue?
Yeah.
Positive and negative.
Yeah, it's a great word, dialogue, isn't it? And what that means is a dialogue is what we're saying, you know, what we say to ourselves. So, you know, that's really important. So, you know, we're amazing human beings in what we say to ourselves is extremely important in our body and our mind. So I guess for me, what it means, there is a theory to it, and I have a personal theory to it, and what it actually is. It's like I see dialogue as a set of belief systems, and we what we think is how we see ourselves, and that's going to be our experience. So if I'm talking to myself in a very self-negating or negative way, that's going to be my experience.
Gotcha.
So it's actually, I guess it's actually making conscious what's going on in my thought process. And usually, most of the time, the thought process is running the show in the background. It's not really conscious. So it's actually bringing consciousness to thoughts. So there's two parts to it, Darren. There's what we think, and then what we feel.
Yep.
So our mind and our body, they kind of go together. And what you're actually thinking generates a feeling in your body.
Right.
So again, to use that example, you know, if I'm saying over and over, I'm not really worthy of love, that's actually going to be my experience. And I'm going to have a feeling in my body of how I present myself. So, you know, shoulders could be a little bit down. My speech might be a little bit negative. It's really important that it has an impact on the body. So think of guided visualizations and meditations. That's why they are so powerful, because there's carefully chosen words that have an impact on the body.
Gotcha. And almost like affirmations. Where do affirmations fit into all this?
Affirmations. Yeah, I think affirmations, they're a little bit different to the thoughts and beliefs, but they're just as important, because they really reinforce and support changing the thought process. I think thoughts are more a little bit, and beliefs, or no, sorry, in particular beliefs, is more about what the inner loop that we say to ourselves. So, and it's most likely the inner critic that's kind of running the show, telling us what to do because of fear of being hurt. And affirmations can really support in changing the dialogue and creating the neural pathways that go with that.
Yeah, and I love that. So in other words, whatever you do, whatever you're telling yourself, you can actually start to recreate new neural pathways. Is that the way it works?
Yes, through repetition. So when you think about it, the beliefs that have been created over a period of time have been repetitive. And through repetition, the neural pathways get formed.
Right.
So I think, that can be a whole nother topic, actually. It's quite a big topic. So when there's awareness and recognition of your thoughts and your feelings, you're able to change the process. And through the repetition, you can create the change that you're wanting, right, and have a different experience. Your body as a whole will get to experience the new change or the new way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So say you want to be a little bit more confident in going out on dates. Yep. So first of all, you change the thought process and or identify what the thought, you know, what you're saying to yourself. So if it's if it's negative self-talk, then changing it into something that's realistic.
Yep.
And then keep repeating that, and then it'll have an impact on your body. And wow, you may go through a series of feelings like, oh yeah, I don't really believe this, but you have to keep going back to that. It's through the repetition that will create the neural pathways. Yeah. Gotcha.
And so then once that you've created new neural pathways, obviously it means that you're subconsciously, naturally using those neural pathways throughout your day, and they become your normal. Is that how that really works?
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah. So it's actually, you're consciously working with it. It's about bringing it into your awareness and even noticing like, this is the point where I put myself down, mm-hmm, but I'm not going to choose to do that.
Gotcha.
So you're empowered to make a different choice. And even if it feels a little nerve-wracking saying, oh, I've got to ask this person out on a date, just allowing yourself to have the experience, supporting yourself through your thoughts, yep, let your body have the experience of the feelings, and then it's a beautiful holistic experience. Gotcha. And it's embodied.
I love it.
Yeah.
There's a famous saying, I think it was, I mean, Earl Nightingale said it, but I don't know if he was the person who actually founded it. It says, you are what you think about all day long.
Absolutely.
And I just think that is so spot on and pertinent to exactly what we're talking about here.
Yeah, that is so true. Yeah, yeah.
You are what you think about all day long. If you think a certain way, that's what you'll manifest. If you think something else, that's what you'll manifest. Yeah. It's all up to you, really. It's our choice.
Yeah, it's true, isn't it? And, you know, it's hard when you're in those stuck places. And, you know, I see people all the time. It's like, you know, what's going on? You know, how can I make these changes? And, you know, I want to get closer to my partner and I can't, and this is what's happening for me. And it's painful. It's actually painful that it's painful to not be aware. And I think the process of counseling is, especially Gestalt, which, you know, we'll go into it a little bit later, is it's about bringing that intensity of awareness constantly.
Gotcha. Perfect. Yeah. I might just jump in, Carmel. The volume of your voice seems a little bit faint. Have you turned maybe just turn it up a touch?
Oh, right. Okay. How's that?
Yeah, that's what I can hear. Perfect.
Okay. I think I'm quite animated, so I'm moving around. I'm standing up, Darren, because I just love movement.
Fair enough. That's good.
I move away from the microphone.
Fair enough. So now I believe, Carmel, that you actually bring in art to your therapy. Tell us a bit about how that works and how you do that.
Oh, yes, yeah. I mean, how great is art? I mean,
oh, absolutely.
I mean, we love the theatre and you know, all those creative, wonderful, you know, expressions that we use. I mean, you know, have you ever seen kids, Darren, use art to work things out? They use colour, they use crayons, they use animals, they have pretend props.
Yep.
They use trees, they use scenes. Well, you know, that's it. That's actually art therapy in motion from a child's perspective.
Yeah.
But I do the same with adults and do that in a grown-up way. So it's not about the finished product of what's been drawn.
Yep.
It's about the process of how it's been done.
Yep.
So, you know, art is a brilliant way of bypassing the mind, because I think the mind can be limiting.
Gotcha.
And really getting into creativity about problem solving.
Perfect.
You know, and a lot of people that try that, you know, a lot of beliefs come up around art, you know, oh, I can't draw or I can't do this, but it's not actually what you draw. You can even make meaning or process a stick figure, you know,
And it's really about, it sounds like it's really about allowing you, or it's a vehicle to help you access your subconscious.
Yes, totally. Yeah. And without a doubt, always it's a given that people that I see are always always surprised as to what comes out.
Yeah.
It's mainly about the expression that has the power.
Yep.
And they've accessed it from a different place of themselves, and you know, therefore they can problem solve in a different way. Instead of, you know, there are many ways to solve a problem, but if you go about it in the same way with the same mindset and the same belief system, then it's very difficult to come up with something new.
Absolutely.
I agree. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Some of my best ideas have come to me when I'm taking a drive and I'm not thinking about anything.
Yes.
I'm in the shower, or I'm, you know, just doing whatever. All of a sudden I get the best ideas because I'm accessing my subconscious.
Yes.
Whereas meditation is the same. People say meditate on it, which means you're not actually meditating on anything. You're just allowing yourself to not think, and all of a sudden, bang.
Yeah. Well, I hope, Darren, that you jump straight out of the shower and you write it down, because that's pure gold, you know.
Yes.
When it happens, when the creativity happens. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I, a lot of the time I do that on purpose. I go for a long drive sometimes. I say, I've got to take a break. I'm going to go for a long drive. And I just put some music on. And I know that I'm going to come back with some gold, because it happens all the time.
I really love that. So you're actually quite conscious.
Yeah.
That you know. So you're actually setting the path. I really love that. What you're saying to yourself is, I'm going to go for a long drive because I know that it accesses a creative part of myself, and you know that you're going to come back with something. So you're actually setting the scene. I love that.
I do that all the time. I do that all the time. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's brilliant. That's really good. I like that.
Awesome.
Yeah. I remember, you know, when I was, so speaking of creativity, I was working with some women who'd experienced feeling quite disempowered and had, you know, a lot of difficulties, and I did a guided visualization with them, and it was really focused. So, you know, what you were saying about going for the drive, there were words in there that prompted, and it was strength based, and it was focused on strengths, this particular guided visualization. So, I took them through the process, and sharing is very integral to for integration. It's very powerful when another person resonates with your story.
Yep.
That's very powerful. So, you know, this woman was sitting next to me, and she was clearly and visibly really upset. And, you know, I just turned to her and I said, you know, let's explore this further, because she didn't like what she had put on the paper.
Right.
You know, so I don't try to change things, Darren. I just let them be. But I think the process of her sharing what she didn't like was powerful enough. And then I just said to her, I said, so what do you want to do with this? And she just tore it up and threw it up into pieces and threw it up in the air. Fabulous. And I went, woohoo, you are just empowered, girl. I love it.
Right. That's it. Because it's about the process. It's about the journey of self-exploration. You know, it's not about what you get at the end of it. It's what you learn along the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yes, it absolutely is. You know, and art therapy has been around since the 40s. You know, that's when there was the introduction of the therapy into the art. Uh-huh. So, you know, art forms a core part of my therapy. I just think it's really important for breaking down barriers. And so it's been around for a long time.
Well, great. Okay. And now what about Gestalt therapy? Is that how I pronounced it properly? Gestalt?
Yes, you have. Gestalt.
Gestalt. And so what is that? I've never really heard of it.
I know. What is that? My gosh. I think I asked myself the same question when I signed up to study it, actually. what am I doing
What have I got myself into here?
I know. No. It was very conscious, actually. No. Well, Gestalt is a German word. And what it simply means is the whole is greater than the sum of the parts.
Oh, okay.
So when you think about this podcast, Darren, let's think about this podcast as a live being,
I love it.
So there's aspects to this podcast where there's a series of questions, and you're contributing to the conversation.
Yep.
and you're bringing your history, your experience, your ideas, and I'm bringing the same. So all of these parts will create a whole to the podcast, and not one is there can't be one without the other.
Yes.
So we're not focusing on one particular area. It's actually the whole of it, which creates meaning for people that are listening around what relationships are for them.
I like it.
Yeah. Awesome. Does that sound pretty good? Yeah, good example of what Gestalt is.
Awesome. And so does that mean when you work as a therapist in Gestalt, do you still do it one-on-one, or do you do it with people together, or is there anything of that nature?
Yeah. So you can work in groups.
Yep.
Or as individuals, yes. Yeah. Okay. So most importantly, what Gestalt is working in the here and now. Uh-huh. So the here and now is where the potency is. So yes, someone comes with a presenting problem and it's happened in the past, mm-hmm. but we actually work with it in the here and now.
Okay.
And we may go to the past, but we still work in the here and now, because this is where the change has happened. Because what it's called in Gestalt is a fixed Gestalt. When someone comes to therapy with a problem, it's a fixed Gestalt. They can't work it through. So something is unfinished.
Right.
So they get the opportunity to finish it with the therapist in the room with the state that they're in right now, rather than from the past, which is where they didn't have the resources to complete what they needed to complete.
Gotcha.
And so what I bring in is, of course, what we spoke about the body, the thoughts and the feelings. We explore that. We may go back to the past, bring it into the here and now, then create what the future may look like, but we're still bringing it into the here and now. And most importantly, it's the relationship that we set up together, because it has to be co-created. It can't be just one person.
Gotcha.
Because without that person, I wouldn't be how I am. So without you and I here in this podcast speaking, then we wouldn't be able to co-create the juice that's in the middle of it. It's called, in Gestalt, it's called the figure that forms.
Okay, love it.
And, if there's excitement there, that's where you go. But if there isn't any excitement, then I go somewhere else. That actually informs me where I go.
Yep. And what about...
What
about... you can't have the present without the past, or the future without the... et cetera, et cetera. Does it go into that, or that's something totally different? Like your journey, like who you are, is also a result of your past to a degree. So that's almost part of that same journey.
Absolutely. Yes, most definitely. So we would explore, it's what's called field conditions. Okay. So if someone is struggling with sharing feelings in a relationship, for example, there might be a core belief that I'm not safe to do so.
Right.
So then as they're speaking about it, I would be asking questions in this moment. So what's happening for you now as you speak about this? And they might get upset with, there could be a different scenarios, but I'm just using that as an example. But bringing awareness to the present actually helps them to identify rather than conceptualize.
I see.
That's a lot more difficult to work with when there's a concept.
Right.
It needs to be in the present moment, and then we start working with the body. I think it's very important that the body comes into it, because that's where all the feelings and the emotions are stored, and when it gets to that point, then a shift can happen, not just through the thoughts.
Right. Okay, gotcha. So the body, the feeling and the emotion and the manifestation in the body is very important.
Yes, absolutely. And I don't know if you've, there's a technique in Gestalt, it's called chair work. Have you heard of chair work?
No.
Oh my gosh, it's fantastic.
It sounds like a Pilates class.
It does, doesn't it? Well, yeah, you can do a bit of exercise while you're exercising your belief system and your mind as well. So, Yeah, so I mean, that's a technical term, but this happens naturally in a therapy session. It's not a setup. It's if I hear an emergence of it. So, you know, say, you know, most people that come to therapy, they're in conflict within themselves about a particular issue. Right. So usually there's an identification of two parts. So what I might do is I'll set up two chairs and the person will name and identify each of the parts. And they'll actually have a conversation with the two parts. Right. And then sometimes it's incredible because it's named. It's like, oh, I'm so relieved now that this is out. And sometimes I just sit back and I don't need to facilitate the conversation. It just happens naturally.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Isn't it?
It's amazing. I've seen so many things just like change. And you can see, I've seen it in clients where there's just this relief and this sense of like, oh, you know, I didn't know that a part of me was a bit of a pusher and, you know, this other part wants to just relax and, you know, chill out, you know, and these two parts are really in conflict with each other. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah. I've seen it done in group as well. Totally, really powerful, very powerful.
Okay. Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I would love to hear, maybe you mentioned you got a couple of examples for us. I'd love to hear a couple of examples of, you know, case studies of how you've really used any of these therapies to really make a difference. You know, it's always good to have a bit of a story.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? I mean, you know, you've often heard here where, you know, people get into relationships, there's communication struggles, there's differences, there's cultural backgrounds, belief systems, there's all these complexities. And then it's like, wow, all of a sudden I'm with this person and they've got this whole background and history of what they're in relationship with. So
can we use the term baggage? Should we use the term baggage?
Yeah, yeah, that's a good word, baggage.
Baggage, I love that word.
baggage. Yeah. Look, you know, a lovely example, I was working with a woman who was really struggling with the way that she was communicating within her intimate relationship. And
right. Yep.
She was wanting more connection and wanting more intimacy and would often come into sessions in distress and be... she would ruminate and there would be a lot of pain, you know, a lot of pain and sadness. And there were a lot of complexities to that because there, you know, English was a second language. So there was a background of culture clash in actual fact within the relationship. So different set of belief systems. So we really took the time in unpacking that and shining a spotlight on, you know, what does this mean for you? And just unpacking it. And it really led to the history of her family upbringing. So, you know, she saw the way her parents interacted and really took that on for herself. So there was a deep fear of, you know, I don't want to recreate what I experienced in my family. And yet she was actually doing that in her relationship. So there's a lot of pain around that. But we really worked through. I have a process of how to share your feelings. It's really structured. It's great for people that love structure. and there's a way to do it. You know, it's in three parts. And we were really practicing that in the session. And, you know, this is the opportunity to do that in the session. You know, you've got to practice it with me. You've got to practice it to be able to do it outside. And we were also looking at boundaries. You know, boundaries are so important in intimate relationships. Mm-hmm. So there's a structure to that as well and how you do it. So we really unpacked that. And she, you know, gave her those tools and she just kept practicing and practicing. And eventually... yeah, you know, really, it was long-term work and it was really good. It really changed. She had some breakthroughs changed her relationship. Yeah.
When I hear this, I'm thinking, why doesn't everybody, when they're about to enter into a relationship, go and do this? Because wouldn't that be much more useful, and wouldn't that save a lot of time and problem?
Yes, totally, and a lot of heartache, you know. Just like me, you know, I wanted to be in a relationship and blah, 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 and this is what I was getting, and then it just opened up Pandora's box. So be careful what you wish for, though, Darren.
Yeah, that's the other side of the coin. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
That's it.
Yeah, now, right. You've still got to tell us where you went on your three dates.
Where I went on my three dates?
Yeah.
Oh, look, this is one of the tips. Should I tell you the tips?
Yeah, give us one of them. Why not? I'm pushing for the tips, so let's go with the tips.
You're pushing for the tips. So the dates, it's a simple tip, but it's a good tip. You know, it's an important tip. On my three dates, I spent the day with my now partner. Yep. I didn't just meet for coffee. And nice. That is really important, because when you spend time with someone, you get to know them, and then you get the opportunity of asking the right questions, and especially questions that are aligned with your values. So, a relationship coach told me about that, and I went, oh my gosh, that's so good. So many times I hear women and men, I guess, say, oh, you know, I met him for a coffee and he just is not the one for me. And I'm thinking, no.
Yeah, after like half an hour coffee and that was it.
Yeah. It's like, it has to be instant and I need to know about it straight away. So. Yeah.
And so you did this on your third date, you met for the day.
Yeah. So on the three dates, I knew by the third date, I just had a feeling. So I had date one. And we actually met up in the city, actually, and spent the day together at the Rocks. It was
all right. Fabulous. So even from day one, first date, you spent the whole day together.
The whole day together. Yeah.
Wow, I've never said if I say, oh, let's go for a coffee, let's go for a drink, I've never said let's spend the day together. Then I think, what the hell?
It's funny. It happened to be like that. So it probably wasn't. Hey, you know, let's go on a date for a day.
Yeah, I'm going to book you in from 9. You'll be back at 6.
Yeah. So they might think I'm a bit strange or something like that, or get really scared and say, oh, no, I've got other plans. Sorry, I can't.
Yeah, sorry. I've got a day free in November, I think.
I better get the message then, huh? No, we met in the morning. We met at a tea house, which is really lovely. But it lengthened out into the day, into a whole day. So we explored Sydney and a little bit of the history of Sydney. So very important to spend the day. So it happened to be, it actually unfolded like that. It wasn't strategic.
Yeah. I know I'm just kind of playing devil's advocate and having a bit of fun, but it's such a clever strategy and a clever message to, you know, you can't get to know somebody in a quick coffee or an hour. You need to spend time with people. You need to bounce ideas. You have to understand what makes them tick, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So you do need more time. So it's a great message.
Yeah, you do. It is a good message. And for couples, Darren, I really love this. It's a beautiful, it's called eye gazing. So if you sit cross-legged opposite each other and look into the left side of the person that you're with, on the left side's eye, and no talking, it's just eye gazing and really softening into your heart and reflecting on, you know, what is it that you like about this person, and it's beautiful. You'll notice your attention might move away, but then bring yourself back into the present moment. It's such a lovely way to meet each other and connect. Eye gazing,
beautiful. I love it.
I love it.
So, Carmel, if people want to get in touch with you and learn about all these amazing ideas for therapy and tips and tricks, what's the best way to do that?
Great. Well, just with the tips that I've shared, I've got a little booklet which is available on my website that you can download straight away. So it's 5 steps to better relationships.
Fantastic.
That's available for everyone if they want. But just go to my website. It's carmelcatanuto-psychotherapy.com.au.
Okay.
Yeah, get in touch through my website.
Beautiful. And those little tips were on your website, or is that a separate link?
Yeah, no, those tips are on the homepage of my website. Okay. So it's available now if you want it. Yeah, just click on it and you can download it.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. So for everybody out there, I'm going to put those links in the show notes for you so you can access those. And I believe, Carmel, did you say you have a special offer for us and for the guests?
Oh, yes. Yeah. There's it's an art therapy discovery session. So we work together for half an hour. So if you want to book in for a half hour pre-intro art therapy session, please do. Yeah, just to explore something. I'm offering that at the moment, which is good.
Oh, that's fantastic. So Carmel, it's been an absolute pleasure starting to delve into this context and learning about your dating history as well at the same time. But have you got anything else that you want to leave us with?
No, I think that's it. Those are the two hot tips, which are good.
All right, I think they're great tips.
I've really enjoyed it. I feel really inspired and excited speaking with you, Darren.
Oh, my pleasure. It's been a very interesting conversation and I've learned a lot. And I think, you know, I'm hoping that all the audience out there really this stimulates some thought for them. And, you know, I think Carmel will be a great person to talk to if you really want to start delving into understanding yourself and trying to attract opportunities and people to you, because we all deserve it. So get in touch with Carmel and I'm sure she'd be fantastic and very happy to help. So Carmel, thank you once again. It's been an amazing show. And for everybody out there, thank you so much for supporting us here at the podcast. You know, I really appreciate all the great feedback. And we'll see you tomorrow, I think, for the next episode. So bye for now. Thanks again, Carmel.
Thank you. Thanks, Darren.
Pleasure.